Pretty simple message. We're going to take a look at the message that the angels were given to the shepherds on this night when Jesus was born. And our biggest hope for you is just that you don't miss it. Because, you know, Christmas has come so fast, and here it is, and before we know it, it's just going to be over just like that. And what a shame if we had like a drive-by Christmas, and it just, and it was over, and where God might have so much in store and in mind for your heart or for your spirit this season, and for just all the activity and everything else, just a blitz, and we almost miss it. So it's so good that we can gather together like this and pause, worship, focus on what the Lord has got for us. So we have this announcement that came to the from the angels who appeared to the shepherds. It was an announcement of good news and of great joy. Let me show it to you, the passage in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 to 11, and you'll see the announcement. It says, in the scriptures, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now these two verses that we have on there, that's our focus this morning. This is the message that we're looking at this morning. We see a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. This must have been a spectacle. Very awe-inspiring if you were the shepherds to see an angel, let alone if a multitude of angels showed up. Very awe-inspiring. And the news that they gave is incredible news. Absolutely world-changing kinds of news. And the shepherds, they take it at face value and they run to go see about it. And what they find out is that it was true. And so today, we want to make sure that you don't miss it. The shepherds might have thought, with all that's going on, angels, and all this wonder that's out there around them, this, like, why would we leave this? We're seeing a supernatural event right now. Why would we run off to Bethlehem? Well, because of the news that they were told. You guys, with all the lights and glitz and things and noise that comes with Christmas, don't miss what's really going on. I heard a story, it was a long time ago, It was supposed to be like a Depression era type story. If you think about that, when people were, money is tight and the people are feeling a little bit impoverished. But in this particular town, there was news about a circus that was coming to town. And there was a young boy desperately wanted to go. Of course, why wouldn't he want to go? See the circus, never seen anything like it. Desperately wanted to go. And he asked his dad, can I go to the circus? Can we get tickets to go to the circus? His dad said, you know, it's just way too tight. You guys know what that's like at Christmas time. It gets tight. He says, we can't afford it. We can't afford to send you. Certainly not as a family, we couldn't afford to go. And his son so badly wanted to go, and his dad could see it on his face. So he made a deal with him. He said, look, son, I tell you what. If you can find some work so that you can raise a little bit of money, if you can get up to half your ticket paid for, I'll pay the other half. The rest of us won't be able to go with you because we can't afford that, but I could pay half your ticket. The boy was really enthused. So he went. He went out in the streets and he hustled and he found himself a way that he could get a little bit of money. It's not easy. But he managed to scrape together a little bit of money and he was working so hard to get that target, to get that half that price that ticket paid for. And when he had it, he was really enthused. And his dad kept his bargain, helped him pay for this ticket so that he could go to the circus. Never seen anything like it. So he's on his way. The day had come. He was on his way, super excited about going to the circus. And when he's on the way, the circus, they're having like a parade. Not an official parade like we think of. Basically like a parade where they're just marching all their animals and clowns and stuff through the street until they get to the location where they're going to have the circus. It's a way of advertising, right? Here we are, and come and enjoy. And the boy was watching this. He said, oh, this is fantastic. And he's seeing clowns, and he's seeing animals, and all this wonderful stuff. And an entertainer came walking right up to him And he just thought, this is great. Like, and he just took his ticket out and he handed it to this guy, the entertainer. He handed it to him. And off he went. And he was enjoying this. And he thought it was so magnificent. Saw all this stuff. And they went on by. And it was done. The boy went home. And he got home and he was really encouraged. Wow, I really saw something great. And his dad says, like, what are you doing home already? I thought you were going to the circus today. He says, I did. I thought, but why would you come back so soon? He's like, well, it was done. And so he asked him what happened. He told him the story. And he said, well, son, you just handed your ticket to an entertainer. That wasn't the circus. That was just a little parade, like the little entrance into it. And the boy missed the show. He'd given his ticket away, and he missed the show. Friends, this is what we don't want to have happen to you today. We hear about Jesus. Oh, Christmas is here. Jesus is born. Yeah, I get it. And on we go. No, no, no. Don't miss the heart of what is going on here. This is great news of real joy. And what makes it so? The shepherds saw this spectacle, angels. Could you imagine if they saw the angels and that wonderful spectacle, and yet they missed the main event where the angels are saying, go to Bethlehem and see. Go and see. At the beginning of the Gospels, you get this invitation is always happening. Go and see. And when Jesus is first on the scene, you remember that Andrew was one of the disciples, meets him, and he thinks, I think this is the Messiah. We should follow him. And he's speaking to his brother, his Andrew, and he says, you got to come. Come and see. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, come and see. Come and see. And the beginning of the Gospels is full of this kind of invitation. Come and see. Come and check it out. What's so great about this Jesus? What's so great about Christmas? What's so great about this story? You need to come and see and make sure that you don't miss what it's all about. How is this baby that's in the straw good news? Well, you can take a look at the scripture that we have on the screen even for you right now. What did the angels say? They told him. They told them, the shepherds, he's a Savior. He's a Savior. That means he saves. It's interesting. Now, I'm going to stretch here just a little bit, so forgive me. Just an illustration. But the shepherds, they got to be out. It says that they're at night watching their flock. It's almost like a little illustration for all of humanity. We're in the dark. This is what sin does to people. All of humanity, the scripture says that all have sinned and fall short. All of us have the same condition where we're in the dark. And we need God's light to shine upon us. Here are the shepherds sitting by night, and a Savior comes, and they are told, you can be brought out of night into this perfect light. That's what the Savior does. This news is good. It's not just that it's a Savior, but it's told that it's good news. It's good news because it's true. It's good news because it's true. Now, let's say I were to tell you, if I was talking to Jason, and I was told Jason, I just heard you won $1 million. Oh, that's really good news. But then if I say, I'm just kidding, Jason, you didn't win $1 million. Well, that's not very good news anymore. So it's not true. See, there's no reason to rejoice because that news is worthless. Now, some people, they think, well, Christmas is just a story. This whole baby in a manger business, it's just a story. It's just, why would I even follow that? Why would I give a care about that kind of news? Well, because it's true. Because it's real. In the year 1224, that's when they created the first creche, or the first nativity scene, right? It's because this priest, who had noticed amongst the people he was trying to evangelize and witness to, they always had this impression like, yeah, I know about Jesus, I hear about this, and it's like it's a story. It almost didn't seem real, and that was the intent behind it. What he was hoping to do was to try and put some skin on it, as it were, like what Jesus did when he actually came. Put some skin on it so that we could see this is real. That was the whole purpose. Jesus is an actual person. He was real. And he's a Savior. It's good news. Years ago, a long time ago, I heard a story. This was a true story about a girl who had fallen into a well. And, you know, the situation had become dire because of the conditions. They were having difficulty getting her out. And of course, if she stays down there too long, You can only go so long without water or without food, you know. If she stays down there too long, she's going to die. Situation became very, very concerning. Now, can you imagine if an evangelist came into the middle of this crisis that these people are having? There's a mother standing at the ground, worried, sick about her daughter, and this little girl down in the well. Can you imagine if an evangelist came to that little girl in the well, or to that mother, and said, you know what? God has got some really fantastic ways to improve your life. God would really, you know, God will bless you. If you just turn to Him, He's got all these intentions. That's not what they need. They need to be helped. But when somebody comes along for that same woman or that same child and says, don't worry, I know we've been struggling, but we've got this mechanism. It came from another town. This is going to be the perfect thing. We'll be able to lower this in here. We will be able to save your daughter. Now that's good news. We will be rescued. We will be saved. Now Jesus came. This is not just some little thing. Oh, neat. God came. There's a baby in the manger. There's gifts. Fancy stars and lights. No. This is the good news that He's come to save us. We're in the dark like the shepherds, and we need Him. We need redemption. And He was called, the angels say, He is, you see at the bottom of the screen in verse 11, He is Christ, the Lord. That's what the angels said. That term Christ in the Hebrew means that He is the Messiah. In the Greek, we get Jesus, we get Christ, and what that means is He is the Anointed One. What that means is that God made something special with Jesus. He's no ordinary man born in a manger. He is anointed by God for a very, very special purpose. As Messiah, Jesus is the only one fit for this salvation mission, the only one capable. He was called Christ, but He's also called Lord, which is like calling Him God. You know what? There are lots of groups out there who are missing this. The Mormons, probably celebrating Christmas, and they think that Jesus is a Savior. But they don't accept that He is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses may be celebrating. And in a similar way, think about Him as Savior, but they don't really believe that He's God. The angel said, this new baby is a human, but that He is God in the flesh. A man can't save us from all that we need to get from here to heaven and escape the concerns of hell. No man ever born or ever will could save us, but God can. He was born in the flesh, miraculously conceived. He didn't just descend from the sky. And as a man, Jesus can bear the sins of men. Jesus is God in human flesh, unique in all of human history. And if we keep looking at these two verses here, in verse 10, it says, this will be good news for all the people, for everyone. That means it doesn't matter if you're Russian, or if you're Chinese, if you're Canadian, if you're Jewish, or Nepali. This is for all people. If you're young or old, or male or female, there are none of us who are excluded as though, well, all these people who accept God's gift and their lives are changed is so wonderful. It's not for me. It is. It's for you. Look at verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. A Savior was born for you. The shepherds did the right thing. With this poor boy that I was telling you about earlier who sees the parade and misses the circus, misses the main event, the shepherds did the right thing. They heard the news and they ran to see. I'll just show you a few more verses from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says that when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go We'll go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They went straight away. They went straight away when they heard the news, and what did they see? They didn't see a halo floating above this baby. They didn't see more angels standing there pointing to him to make sure that they wouldn't miss it. They didn't see royalty, as you might imagine. There was no palace. There was no guards to attend. There was no servants. What they saw was what they were told. Just a baby, but in a manger, like a feed trough. Didn't necessarily look like a savior. What does a savior look like? It was not his appearance that was so important. It was what they were told by the angels, and they found that it was true. You'll find a baby just wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he'll be lying in a manger. If you see that, you know you'll see what God has destined for you. They didn't see something that looked like a savior, but they found something much better, something much deeper. You know, sometimes even the rich and the famous in our world, in our day, in our time, they'll disguise themselves. They don't want to be recognized too much. They get all kinds of attention and things for who they are and what they look like. And they know that a lot of that attention is false. It's by people who just want to fawn over them and maybe get something from them. How hard it must be to get a true friend or find true love. If you're in the news all the time and so famous, when you know that these people come to you just because I saw you on TV and they've got an idea about you in their head. And so sometimes these people will disguise themselves. We're looking for something real. And God is looking for a real connection from us. A people who, when they hear, will go and see what God is all about. A need to be, you know, when Jesus comes in this great humility, like a baby, in a manger, it signals for us very much what he's looking for from us. The same kind of humility. He doesn't come as an arrogant great world leader, some kind of superpower. No, he came as the foot washing, shepherd loving, small town living, gracious, humble God. Not everybody sees him. For those same reasons, if God's hiding out in those humble places and we're too busy chasing all the lights and things of this world and we don't see him, because that's not where he's at. Not everybody sees him for what he is. Friends, don't miss the main show because of all the other lights that are going on. I'm going to show you a passage from Philippians because it tells us in Philippians that one day everybody will see him for what he is. And a one day is when we're all done with everything here. And that day, it says, the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day, everybody will see Jesus for what he is. And for some people, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Now is the acceptable day of salvation. Now is the day to hear the message that the angels proclaim about this great and wonderful news. Now is the day to hear the call when he says, come and see, and to go and to find this Jesus. Some will bow before Jesus in tremendous horror because they will know in their hearts, this is the true King of heaven. This is the creator of everything, including myself. And I have spent my life neglecting him. In essence, I have spent my life rejecting him. And Jesus already tells us in the scripture, I'm going to look at Matthew 25:41, where he tells us exactly what these people are going to hear. Can I see that next slide, please? He will say to those on his left, "Depart from me. You are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Interesting, there's been a controversy on the internet in the past few weeks about whether hell is eternal or not. And yet, the scripture just says, all we have to do is look at the Bible, see what it says. Depart from me. But you know what, friends? He came. At Christmas, he came. Because it is not God's desire that any should perish. It's not his desire for any, but that we would humble ourselves as he humbled himself to make himself accessible to us. He humbled himself to come and make him easy for us to reach. He doesn't force us. He just loves us. And he offers himself to us as Savior. Those who are humble now will rejoice in accepting Jesus. Just as the angel said, news of great joy. We can gladly bow in this day as we will gladly bow in that day. On this day, when Philippians says that every knee will bow, some will bow in horror because they neglected him. But others of us will bow with such joy because finally, I am face to face with the awesome one who's loved me and accepted me and called me his own. And finally, I'm entering into that eternal family. It'll be such a time of tremendous awe that we won't be able to help but bow, and it'll be the most appropriate and perfect location for us to be welcomed into eternal life. There's another passage in Matthew 25 I'll show you from verse 34, what the saints will hear. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom that was prepared for you before the creation of the world." The angel said when Jesus came, it was great news of joy. A Savior was born for you. A Savior was born for you to redeem us from the darkness and bring us into everlasting life and light. Church, can I invite you to pray with me? Let's worship this great King with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, you know that our desire today and our point and our method and our plan is to try and help make sure that none of us miss the main target of Christmas just because of all the other things that are going on. So grateful, Lord, for each soul today who take the time to slow down on the Lord's day and contemplate the things of God and our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come for us. Lord, would you bless your children, bless your saints, help us each one to rest in our perfect Savior and be blessed. And for any, Lord, not sure, for any not sure if they've truly found you and know you, may your light shine upon their hearts today by your Holy Spirit, and your perfect conviction be there to sound out the name of Christ as the only perfect Savior. And help us each one, Lord, have an appropriate humbleness and reverence in our hearts to bow before you, to worship, and to come to you. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.